Kyla,
Casey,
and Carol.
Welcome back to the 101 podcast. This is the fifth time we tried recording this intro.
Carol and I think it's really funny. Casey does not think it's funny.
Let's just say before we started recording today, everyone's like, man, like, we're tired. We just, like, don't want to do this tonight, but we have to because of our schedules. And then we sit down and we're off to the races, but it's really rough.
We're off to the races, but we false start four times.
Yeah.
Sarah, say hello.
Hello.
That's Sarah. She's our new roommate. She lives in the same room as me. Quite a gem. This is her first podcast that she's witnessing, and she has graced us with her chip crunching presence, which I value tremendously.
I know
that you guys like ASMR, so I think that you're on board with this.
Every time she eats a chip, she runs into the next room so she doesn't get picked up by the mic.
Before we get too into this episode, do I have a motion to open debate?
Motion to open debate.
That's an order. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, there she goes.
Debate is now open. Just heard a slight chip crunch from the other room. She's hiding. She's trying not to laugh too loud.
Sarah's great. We'll probably bring her on the Patreon at some point. Whenever we decide to do another Patreon
episode. Just left completely. Maybe she doesn't want to be on the Patreon.
Never mind. Maybe she won't be on the Patreon. So today, to get a little bit more on topic, we are going to be discussing club management again. But this time we're going to be talking about leadership teams in a lot of different facets. Kind of how to select a leadership team if you're starting a brand new club. What you should be looking for in electing leadership members if you're in an existing club. What you should be as a person if you're going to be on leadership. Structure of leadership boards, their roles, lots of different things. We're going to try and keep it short because we could probably talk about this for a really long time because we've served on a lot of different leadership boards, but we'll try and give you the gist.
And today we're going to definitely be talking about club leadership boards rather than like a conference leadership, but we can definitely
Very
do an
different.
Episode on conference leadership and definitely some of the characteristics do transfer over.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But when we talk about structure, it'll be more about club structure, because when you're a travel team, that kind of structure is different than a conference structure.
I guess to start off, we can kind of talk about, because I did this in high school when I started my club, kind of selecting the kind of people that you would like to be backing you. And that's a really important thing because you can't do it alone. And I think that that's something that we all want to emphasize is, like, as much as there may be a president or I guess a team captain, I don't know, most people call it a president, they're not the only person in charge, they're not the only person doing the duties, and delegation is super important. Having competent people by your side is absolutely key, because otherwise the club will crash and burn 1,000%.
Oh yeah.
From my experience, I think that the biggest thing that you can look for in someone is commitment, because there's a lot of different skill sets that I think are really important as far as leadership goes, which we'll get into more. But as long as someone is willing to put in the time, their individual talents are kind of secondary to that, I think. Because as long as someone's willing to work for it, then I think that they can become the leader that you want.
Definitely. And when you're running a club, you know, it's hard to force commitment among general body members. And you will have committed general body members, and you'll have general body members who just want to come once in a while for fun.
And that's okay.
But when you are looking for an e-board, you need people who are going to be committed to the club, putting the club first. And that's not an unfair thing to say when you are running a club, mm-hmm. because you want someone who's going to ensure that things get done, things aren't going to slip through the cracks, and sometimes that can happen if they have too many things on their plate, or they're not prioritizing the club, they're prioritizing other parts of life, which that's fine if they want to do, they just should be not running for leadership then.
Agreed.
Completely. You also want someone who's going to be on time to everything, arguably 15 minutes early to probably everything, because there will always be some small crisis that you will need to fix. There will always be an email that you need to respond to. There will always be someone who has a question that you weren't expecting. So you kind of want to create that buffer time, which is why it's really important to have someone who's going to put the club first, especially as a president, who can delegate if they need to. Because delegation is not a bad thing. It is a very, very good thing. And you need to be able to ask people when you need help.
Real leaders delegate. I think that that actually shows strength of leadership capacity, because as soon as you are absorbing all of the duties yourself, you actually aren't doing a really great job leading. You're just doing things,
mm-hmm.
which isn't guiding anybody. You're not putting your club in a really reasonable or secure position, because that means that it begins and ends with you, which is not a smart decision. But as far as commitment, super important. But other than that, I think that there's a lot of variety that you can have on an e-board that I think is really important. Because as much as we say that everybody's, you know, type A, mun people, like, that is very true in a lot of ways. But then again, like, you don't need all dominant characters on the e-board. No. In fact, that can be really toxic.
That's messy.
So trying to find people that come from different backgrounds and see things differently and have different approaches to leadership, I think is super important, because otherwise you're just going to butt heads all the time.
Yeah, and I definitely think that there is an importance in the president knowing the role as a delegator and everyone knowing the role as, this is my position, these are the things that I have to get done. But then also, of course, there are always decisions that the team is going to have to make together, and then having the ability to discuss that in a constructive manner is really important. So people who are looking to build for the better of the team and look at the big picture, I think, is really important.
It's also important to have people, God, we keep saying important.
Vital.
Yeah, it's also really vital to have people on your e-board or your executive board or your leadership team, whatever you want to call it, who can take criticism. Because a lot of times you will be friends with the people on your leadership team, you know, that's been the case for all three of us. But you need to be able to have people who are able to take criticism and not get really angry about it. Because at the end of the day, not everything you do will be perfect. You will make mistakes and it's fine. And if someone says, hey, we need to do it this way because this works better and like it's worked better in the past and we're not really out here trying to change things up that wildly, then you need to take that into account.
Yeah, and not even necessarily criticism, but just like direction.
Yeah.
I feel like if you are
always constructive too. Oh, like understanding like how to accept it, but also how to give it appropriately.
Yeah, and like the thing is, an executive board, I think, should work really collaboratively. Of course, everyone has their own duties and their own jobs, but I think that it should be a team effort in a lot of ways, and that people help each other out. But that also means that you're opening yourself up to people seeing the things that you're doing. And I think that that's good, because then you can have someone be like, oh, hey, why do you do it that way? You could do it this way. And it's not even necessarily criticism. It's just like genuine feedback. Mm. And I think that that's really important that people are able to take that, because if you have too many super hot-headed people on a team, it gets a little messy. In the past, when we interviewed Steven, we talked about how he and I butt heads a lot because we're both very stubborn and passionate, and we don't necessarily like to do things other people's ways. We like to do things our way. So that was something that we really had to overcome. And I think we'll talk about in a bit, like, mediating mechanisms, because those are absolutely necessary in these sort of situations. I realized that we didn't actually say that when we say an e-board, that's the colloquial term that's used at our school for executive board. A lot of other teams just call it leadership team or whatever they want to call it, but that's what we call ours.
Yeah.
And when we say that the executive board is responsible for the running of the club in a lot of different facets, so depending on where exactly your team goes and how your team trains, I guess we could lay out a typical executive board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can lay out how ours goes.
Yeah.
So our executive board has fluctuated over the years as our team has kind of gone through the changes of trying to decide, do we want a bigger e-board? Do we want a smaller e-board? What kind of positions do we want on that e-board? Are there roles that could be combined or separated? Like, how should it function, essentially? Mm-hmm. And, you know, every year is kind of running it through a trial. And I think we're still figuring out what fits best, and it should be interesting to see how it fits at the end of this year, because we definitely changed it up. We went from a pretty large e-board with, like, 9 or 10 people on it.
It was 10 people if you were including the SecGen, which was an ex officio member.
And then now we're down to
six?
It's six right now, and it'll be seven when we elect the freshman rep.
Okay.
So currently,
clearly way smaller.
Yeah. Currently we have president, vice president, treasurer, training coordinator, secretary, and member at large.
And historian.
No.
Or no, we combine that.
Yeah.
And
we also have freshman rep. And I think it's important to kind of go through what all those positions are. And then we can also talk about what positions we used to have and what we've rolled into each other. So kind of giving, I feel like our e-board has really been through like the whole gamut of things you can have on an e-board.
All sorts of stuff on an e-board. So, the only thing that I think we haven't had is, like, a head delegate as a permanent representative on the e-board, but we can talk about that as well.
Yeah. So, I guess we could just kind of, like, go down the list and talk about, obviously, the presidency we've always had on the e-board. That's pretty standard. Yeah. And vice president. Pretty standard things. Mm-hmm. The president, as Kyla said, is meant to be the delegator, really setting the goal, the vision. In our team, they usually set the conferences. Like, they'll pick them, and they have the majority say in it, but it's pretty much a team consensus. But typically, they're the ones, like, going and looking and saying, where should we really go this year, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And I would say also, trying to set up a team plan for the year, like setting your general goals and being like, hey, this is what I think we should try and achieve as a club as far as, you know, membership quotas or how many conferences you want to go to or fundraising goals, all those sort of things. Just trying to orient the team for the year and then everyone else under the president, I mean, including the president, really, executes those goals. Mm-hmm. Carol, you were a VP. So if you want to touch a little bit more about what our VP does and like the general idea.
So and another thing I wanted to add to the president was, our president, for the most part, was the main communicator with conferences.
Yeah.
I mean,
and the school itself.
In the school itself. So basically, they handled third-party interactions and would pass those off to other people, you know, when they couldn't or they were too busy or whatever, which is another part of delegating. And then VP for us mainly does logistics. So we put together this thing called a logistics guide, which I know not every team does, but our school really likes us to do it.
I like the logistics.
I really like it.
I don't know how people do things without them.
So basically, I would go through and outline, I'm saying I as like, I, when I was VP, would go through and outline exactly what time, or generally what time we needed to leave to go to conference, what time committee sessions would start, you know, what time socials were, what time we would do like our little debrief things, and then what time we would head back. And then that would also have, you know, the location of the hotel or the place we were staying, contact information for our dean and for our, like, campus security people, just in case something happened.
Imagine calling campus security if something goes wrong on conference.
Yeah, just like...
What are they going to do? Like, drive over?
Literally nothing. I don't know. I think we were required to have it. Also, the contact information for all the delegates, who was going in cars, just, like, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Anything anybody really needed to know was in the logistics guide. And then we also gave it to our advisors, so that he would know what was going on. So that's a lot of what BP does. I also did forms. We had to do off-campus forms because we weren't required to have a chaperone, but then we had to have two responsible delegates, which were the head dels, which we elected, which we can get into later. So I did that. I scheduled rooms and like I booked rooms, which was like a whole nother debacle.
it was a lot of logistics that I won't even get into. And it's, being kind of like a right-hand man as well.
Yeah.
Like, whenever the president needed something done, I feel like you were the first person called.
And also, like, if the president couldn't be there to run the meeting, then I would run the meeting. Which was only, like, what, two or three times last year?
Yeah. And now, our VP also has some constitutional duties, which we had previously designated to a sergeant-at-arms, which is a position that we since dissolved. So, by constitutional duties, I mean...
you were briefly sergeant-at-arms.
I was briefly sergeant-at-arms. I was sergeant-at-arms. It was spring of my freshman year because a girl graduated early in December. So generally those duties, I don't know exactly which ones we designated to the VP and what we designated to secretary because we kind of split those duties. But the general idea of constitutional duties, when I say it, is running elections, which is super important because you need a neutral party that isn't necessarily voting and is administering all of that and can keep things confidential. And also editing the constitution and the bylaws, which we've talked about bylaws in the past episodes of club management. They're really important. You never know that you're gonna need them until you need them, and when you need them, you better be backed by them. So
it better be good.
They better be good. So like keeping that up to date and making sure that it's a fully representative document of what the club is doing and what you want the club to quote-unquote legally be able to do and the policies that you want your members to have to abide by. That is now in the charge of the VP, but some people separate that out into a full separate position, which we called sergeant-at-arms.
Also, when we talk about a constitution, we're not talking about the U.S. Constitution.
I
don't know.
She was sergeant-at-arms. She knows about this, Caroline.
Yeah, okay.
You wrote
you
the
not,
whole constitution?
Can you not speak for me? Thanks. As a founding father of the United States,
But I don't know if every school calls it the same thing. It's essentially, like what Kyla said, the bylaws, you know, how you want to run your club. It's very formal, and I don't quite know why it's so formal, but it is.
No, it has, like, even, you know that symbol that represents subsection?
Yep.
What is that even, what is
the
that?
The simoleon symbol?
Yes, the simoleon symbol. Yeah, the one for simoleons. Yes. Wow, I never even made that connection.
Kyla's gonna think on that, and we're gonna move on to the next position.
I literally just, like, looked off.
I'll just interject now, training coordinator, mm-hmm. also an important position in the club because hopefully if you're going to conference, you're teaching new members how to do Model UN.
Not every club has one, mm-mm. but I would argue that you probably should.
Yeah, I'm honestly intrigued to think about, like, who does that then.
Presidents, I think.
Yeah. I just feel like it's...
Or head dells.
I guess. Head dells. Yeah, so I...
Could be a, like, just a, like, name. A
mix, could be yeah. renamed to head dell, and then they also carry that duty on conference, but... Basically, in my position as training coordinator for our team, we do weekly trainings on weeks that we're not on vacation or on conference. So basically, it's all the management of understanding who's coming to training, assigning them positions, like choosing topics, writing background guides if you so choose. Because
we do simulation style training primarily. Some people don't do that. We do, and that's what works well for us.
Making training materials for new delegates, ensuring that everyone's moving along and coming up to speed. And honestly, like, trainings for us are really important in deciding who goes to mm-hmm. conference. And so then when we assess that, it's not only the training coordinator, but the entirety of the e-board, which we can talk about going on conference and, like, selecting that in a different episode.
Because that is a whole ordeal.
But, that was basically my job as training coordinator.
Then there's also treasurer. Which Caroline also was, so she can probably touch a little bit more on that, but that's honestly kind of goes without saying, handles the money. Super, super, super important position, because if you mismanage money, things will be really bad for you, because mm-hmm. that money is not yours. If it's your bank account, I don't care what you do with it, but when other people are paying into it, and the school is paying into it, you have to be on top of it. Also, and Caroline crafted some spreadsheets that are pretty primo.
I've talked about my spreadsheets. I won't talk about them again.
They're very nice.
They are very nice.
If you want to hear about the spreadsheets, just go to any episode.
Literally just go to any episode. If you mismanage money 1 year and then think it won't affect you because you're graduating or you won't be in the club or whatever, it will affect the next e-board and they will look at the budget and say, wait, where did that 300 or 500 or however many dollars or whatever currency you spent, where did that go?
Yeah, I think it's just a rule of thumb. If you're treasurer, don't mismanage funds.
Well, I mean...
And it's not even necessarily intentional, but basically, like, the whole thing here is, like, it's a really vital position that I feel like kind of gets swept to the wayside because it doesn't directly affiliate with, like, a lot of what the club is doing on a day-to-day basis, you know?
Yeah,
like,
you think mun, but you don't think about the funds that are running.
You don't think of money.
If you don't have that money budgeted, then it's not gonna happen. So it's a really important position.
The next position.
Secretary, I think.
Yes. The next. I was secretary. Basically, when I was secretary, really, your only duties were sending out emails. We love to use Slack. We've talked about Slack before. Sending out Slack notifications for meetings, mm-hmm. and also taking meeting minutes. And I definitely recommend expanding that to executive board meeting minutes, especially, it's great for transparency and things.
Key.
But also, just keeping track of meeting minutes is super important and making sure you always put those out.
It honestly is, like, pretty useful. I think especially executive board meeting things, because that's, you know, most of the club isn't able to be there, so, like, just
minutes are slept on, and it will make you sad and not motivated to make minutes, but they're important when they are actually needed.
Because there have been times where we've had to pull those minutes and be like, when was this discussed and who said what, and it's important.
And taking, I don't know, I just, the position's definitely evolved since I was in it, and I definitely think that, like, looking back on it, it's really important to be taking, like, actual meeting minutes, because I think, you know, not to get too much into our team, but I think a lot of teams do this, is, like, meeting minutes aren't just taking bullet points, and that's what I did, so I'm not trying to, like, hate on anybody, but you really need, like, a cohesive actual, like, a map document of what was discussed and what was said, and making sure that, like, you can basically follow the meeting if you weren't there.
And now, the secretary has since absorbed the duties of what we used to have as historian, which basically for us means the person generally that runs our social medias. That also includes running the photo shoot that we do annually, which if you don't do that as a team, that's really so recommend fun. It. It's super fun. Great bonding experience.
We did
really
it biannually in our...
Oh, yeah, you're right. We did two.
Fall and spring.
Not to flex on you, but maybe do two photo shoots. But they ran that, and then they keep up with the Instagram. If you have a Twitter, keep up with the Twitter, Facebook, whatever. I think those positions honestly go hand in hand, and we're really smart to combine together because, you know, just doing minutes is basically your only active during the meeting.
Yeah,
so this
exactly.
gives, like, outside duties, which are really important.
Yeah. Secretary, like, when I was in it, was kind of a boring position where you're right, you're really only doing stuff in the meeting, and you don't feel like you're contributing outside of that.
Mm-hmm. Would love to hear if your secretaries do other things, because that's interesting. I'm always really intrigued by other people's executive boards because I don't actually
Same.
Really know how they work.
I'm on conference, like, grilling people, like, so how often do you guys train, okay? And not even because I'm like, we need to beat you by training, but I'm like, what do you how do you run your club? Because I feel like everyone's so, you know, nobody really talks about it. And that's why we're doing 101.
Because just, like, why don't we talk about it? Because, like, honestly, changing your e-board isn't going to make you beat someone. I'm just interested to know what's going on.
One of the last positions we elect with, like, that incoming e-board... Mm-hmm. Is the member at large. So they, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't quite remember how we edited this last year.
I don't know.
But Kyla held the inaugural position, so maybe she could talk about it.
Oh, yeah. But, no, I mean, go ahead. I don't think we actually changed
the... I don't think we changed the...
No, because I proposed that we changed it and then we chose not to.
So, and please add anything that I forget, because I probably will forget something. But member at large generally runs... the mentor-mentee aspect that we do, which I think is another really cool thing that we could touch on is, like, things to do for your club that aren't exclusively going to conference to kind of build that bond between
That'd
you guys.
That'd be a fun episode.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, we should do that in the future.
Yeah.
That's good.
So they run that. They try to mediate any issues between the general body and the e-board, or the general body and the general body, you know, should it come to that. They're kind of, like, the first line... I don't want to say the first line of defense, but they kind of are, between, like, conflicts that might happen within the club, and then if they deem it necessary, they will, you know, reach out to outside resources, but they're basically there to kind of serve as a liaison between the general body and the e-board, because e-board doesn't always know what everybody else is thinking, because it's very hard for us to put ourselves, especially if we've been in some sort of position on the e-board, for multiple years, it's hard for us to think like a general body member. And so that's kind of where the member large comes in.
For sure. I think that liaison thing is, like, really key. And also, mediation. Because it does come to that sometimes. Yeah. And I feel like it's kind of a undervalued position.
Yeah.
Because when you need a member at large, it's really important that that person is competent and can actually do these things. Because a large part of it is... If there is a conflict, let's say, theoretically, someone wasn't chosen for conference and they're upset about it and they don't understand why they weren't chosen and they feel like they're being ostracized by the e-board. In an ideal situation, they would feel comfortable going to the member at large and being like, hey, these are my concerns. I don't get it. So then the member at large would anonymously, not naming the person, go to the executive board and be like, hey, this problem was broached. Let's talk about it. Figure it out. How can we make our processes more transparent? What do you want me to say back to them? Let's talk about it. And then as that was done, hopefully some progress was made within the e-board, and then you go back to the delegate and are like, hey, this is exactly what they said. This is what happened. Hopefully it can be resolved then. If it goes higher than that, you know, you'll help them figure out the next processes of, like, what you want to do with that. So I think it's really important that you have someone around that's willing to put in that kind of emotional labor and also confidentiality, because I think that that's really vital.
And also attentiveness to the club, because Kyla did say in an ideal world, and a lot of times it's not an ideal world.
Most of the time.
You have to be attentive to understanding when people are unhappy without voicing it, because that is a very, you know, just in life, a common problem that someone's unhappy, they blow off steam to someone else, and they just kind of harbor that anger. They stop coming to meetings. And, you know, if you want to leave a team, that's up to you. Mm-hmm. That's, like, completely within your own right. But it's nice to understand why people leave. Mm-hmm. And
some people do
that.
Exit forms, which I think we should, because I think that that's a super cool practice.
And use that to help change the club, make it for the better. Yeah, you do have to be really in touch with the general body and understand why, because you never want it to come to the fact of someone's really upset and you never knew why in the first place, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Which, to be completely frank, has happened to us, and it's really hard to get past that and make the changes that are necessary. Also, just as like a quick tip for anybody out there that has a position kind of like this, use Google Forms. It's really great, super anonymous, makes things a lot easier. People are able to speak their minds before doing that. Make sure that people know that it's supposed to be constructive criticism only, not a place to bully people. Yep. But, you know, just trying to maintain that trust with the general body via anonymity, if that's the means that are necessary.
Yeah. And then a position that is very similar that we elect... We do nominations for actually at the very first meeting, and then we elect during the next meeting, mm-hmm. is freshman rep. And their position is very much kind of a hand-in-hand with the member-at-large. While the member-at-large kind of is the senior position to convey general body feelings and, you know, thoughts and complaints to the e-board, freshman rep is more of a position where they're definitely more in touch with the freshman class, because freshmen definitely do have a very different set mm-hmm. of concerns and, you know, feelings and emotions. It's just being a freshman is a very different position to be in school and in a club.
A brand new member of a monkey.
Yeah. Yeah. So the freshman rep really helps convey that to the general body and to the member at large. And then also, as we've mentioned in our club, there is a mentor-mentee program that we do, and they're a very large part of facilitating that. Mm-hmm. And I would also say it's definitely a kind of apprenticeship for the e-board.
Mm-hmm. A stepping stone.
Yeah, it's definitely a stepping stone. Not saying that every freshman rep goes on to want to stay on e-board or mm-hmm. does stay on e-board, but it is definitely a way for them to see how an e-board functions, to kind of see if this is something they would want to pursue or if they'd rather stay a general body member. Mm-hmm. And they can also use that vision to say, hey, freshmen, this is what I've seen on the e-board, and I feel like there's a lot more transparency between a freshman rep and the rest of the freshmen.
Yeah. For sure. Like, our current, not to call him out, our current VP, Jimmy, was a freshman rep and has been on e-board ever since. So that's, I mean, I'm not going to say an ideal situation, because it's not like, that's not necessarily the intent, but I think it is good both for them to get experience being on the e-board, and it's also, I think, they're able to communicate with other freshmen what being on the e-board is like.
Yeah.
So then they Definitely. Can make that choice moving into elections the next year as sophomores if they want to be on the executive mm-hmm. board. Which, I mean, I hope so. Because I, as much as it's a lot of hard work, it's really rewarding, and mm-hmm. I think we can talk a little bit more about that later. But do we have any tips and tricks as to, if you are on e-board, how... What do you recommend people do?
Well, oh, biggest tip, do your job.
Yeah.
Literally, nice. Like,
that was, yeah.
If you're running for an e-board position, I said this before, like, if you're running, understand that you're running not just for the title or the, you know, the yeah. name of it on your resume mm-hmm. or the ability to say that I'm on the e-board and have that, I guess, flex or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're really there to serve the general body,
yeah.
aid the general body, make the club's goals and club's future improve, and you should go on the e-board with the outlook of, I'm here to do my job the best I can and improve upon whatever happened last year. And exactly. just always, like, you're always trying to better the club, and I think that you should be willing to put in the work that goes with that.
Yeah, I think you should also really be open to change, because I feel like every e-board that I've been on, which to be fair has only been two, but I feel like every single one is different, because there's always a different dynamic between people, and people work differently together, and you will communicate in very different ways. And I, along with communication, I think it's also really important to understand people's different communication styles. Like, I'm not a big texter myself, so if I text you, it's probably something important, or I'm, like, incredibly bored. I don't know. But
it's really important, or it's nothing, because I'm
but
bored.
I find it really difficult to have, like, multi-hour long conversations over text. It's I don't understand how people do it, but it's also one of those things where, like, some people prefer to communicate over technology, some people want, like, in person, some people want to do, I don't know, like, video calls. I prefer to, like, talk to people in person mm-hmm. because I feel like my tone very easily over text gets misconstrued. Especially, like, if I come off like I'm being mean, but I'm literally just, like, stating a fact. That's not to say. I mean, sometimes I am being mean.
Caroline's like, I hate you. I can't believe you misconstrued that over text.
No, but sometimes when I'm being sarcastic, it doesn't... That's beside the point. But that's something really, really important to realize is you can't force someone to communicate in a way that is good for you. You have to find, like, a common ground.
Yeah, communication is super key. And I also think staying humble, mm-hmm. I think, is really important because as much as, like...
The massive flex that being on eBoard is...
If you've never been in a collegiate one team and in that culture, this may sound really stupid, but, like... There is, like, a very big culture of, like, well, I'm on eBoard, like,
yeah.
sort of nonsense.
No, I felt it.
Don't do that. Because it ostracizes the rest of the club, and they're just as vital. The club wouldn't exist without the general mm-hmm. body. So I think remembering you were elected to this position, although it is not, you know, a governmental position, you're still there to represent people. So don't get a big head, and don't be a jerk just because you're on eBoard and you... feel like you can do whatever you want. It's just, it's not fair, and it also will cause big fat rifts in your club, which is not worth anybody's time. Because nobody everyone's wants... just there to have a good time and do fun and meh.
Nobody wants a big fat riff.
Everyone wants a big fat riff.
That's a t-shirt.
I would also say to keep expectations in check for the eBoard, yeah. because every single time I've been on an eBoard, the election, like, post-election has always been, like, this is, like, really it. This is, we're gonna change the club. We're gonna be, like, mm-mm. the new wave. And things are gonna be amazing this year.
You won't.
Not saying that, like, good things won't happen.
You can make but the some thing is, change.
There's always good and there's always bad.
Yes.
Like, your eBoard team is never gonna be perfect.
No.
You're always gonna run into speed bumps. You're always gonna run into problems. There will be... good inventive things that you come up with, and there will also be setbacks. And I think that if you go into the year with way too high of expectations, you're going to be severely disappointed, and you're really just going to feel lost. You're going to feel like, this is not at all what I expected. I just, setting appropriate expectations for the year, because everyone wants to be absolutely amazing.
You want to be legendary. And the best eBoard.
You can only do your job so well. You have to depend on other people to do their job well, too, and not saying, like, oh, there's going to be a weak link, but
it's also you can't, school, the club, yeah, time, money, there's
you can't
so much
expect
in your
people
way.
To put, like I said, you should put the club first, but you can't expect people to put their entire lives away just mm-mm. to focus on one thing.
Yeah, you'll probably achieve, and this, like, sounds really pessimistic, but it's not. Out of all of the things in the world that you would want to achieve with your club, you would probably achieve maybe a quarter of them in your
maybe.
Tenure. And that's okay, because the club... unless you're founding it, has likely predated you significantly. So it is set in its ways and not willing to change. There's also 20 to 50 general body members that also have a say in this. Like, it's not just you making yeah. these decisions. There are school policies. There's money. There's other people on the leadership team. There's admin. There's conferences. There's so much stuff that are going to get in your way and prevent you from doing those things. So, like, very genuinely, as long as you're working towards the betterment of the club, as Casey mm-hmm. said at the beginning... that's all that matters. As long as you're there to try and make things better and moving forward, then I think you're fine. Like, you're gonna be okay. It's fine if you don't reinvent the wheel. It's
yeah.
okay.
Another thing that I found really helpful last year, especially because it was so crazy, was making a list of all the things that, like, of all the bad things that had happened that we had, like, overcome and we got over it, and then also making a list of, like, the little things that we had done that we felt like were really, really important, like changing the constitution, you know, redoing voting rights for certain members, like boosting the club, boosting fundraising, all this stuff. And then looking back at that and being like, look at all these things we had to overcome and all these things that potentially could have made us crash and burn if we hadn't figured out a solution to them. And then, like, look at the things that we actually did accomplish. And the fact that we weren't set back
yeah.
by these, like, 15 crises versus yeah. these, like, 5 things we actually did.
That's actually good.
It's, like, striking the balance between not being too hard on yourselves
yeah.
because everyone makes mistakes and also recognizing the flaws and improving on them for next
mm-hmm.
year. And I think that if you can do that and you can really put it in perspective,
mm-hmm.
like Caroline said, it's a very important way to foster self-growth within the club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just want to... emphasize the fact that everybody is here to have a good time. So, also, maybe just don't take it too seriously, because I think...
Just a shirt, like, Model UN, it's not that deep.
It's not that deep. It becomes such a thing when you're invested in it. And I'm not saying that that's bad, because everyone really, really cares about it. I mean, we started a whole podcast about this.
Yeah.
Clearly, we're very invested. But it's also, like, it's not worth getting butthurt over. No. It's not worth ruining a friendship over. It's not worth you, you know, going on a tirade and being like, I'm the president and I'm gonna do what I want. Like, don't. It's fine. And also, if you're a general body member, remember that the E-Board are people.
Like, and they're trying their best.
Everyone's trying their best. They're not out to get you. They're not here to roast you. They're, like, they are genuinely trying their best, and you probably don't know the whole story, so maybe don't roast them. Like, just everybody be nice to one another, because it's just, it's such a better environment when everyone is there to have a good time. That's gonna go on.
Model UN, we're just here to have a good time.
We're just here to have a good time. That's it. So, I mean, that's my part.
Honestly, I think that's a good, like, closing statement to leave it off on.
Thanks. I will plug. Be a guest writer for us.
Yeah.
Rolling
applications. So don't be like put off if you're listening to this episode like a couple weeks later.
Oh yeah. It's going to be open
literally
forever.
Just like apply
the end
whenever.
Of time, it's open. I can't wait till we're 40 and we get like a rogue application.
We'll publish it. Don't worry.
We'll publish it. It's totally fine.
We like dust off the WordPress.
But basically we really are looking for people to share their experiences, because I mean, I'm sure you get tired of us three talking about the things that we've been through. So.
Oh, they have to.
Hey, and someone on Reddit said we had charming personalities.
Thank you. You literally don't know how much I needed that comment. Like, oh my God. When that came through, I almost cried because
we
like,
were having
I,
like
I
a,
really
a rough time.
We were having a really rough time about our stats, and thank you for that. It meant a lot. So I hope you're listening.
Yeah.
But especially our foreign listeners, we know that there are kind of a lot of you. So let us know, because we genuinely have no idea what Mona's like anywhere but here. So
yeah.
I only know what I know.
I only know what I know. So educate me. I love to be educated.
So we've told you about East Coast US Mon, which is a very niche,
collegiate,
little,
like
community.
Mostly crazy.
Tell us about High School Mon. Tell us about High School Mon in whatever area of the world you're in, because we want to know, because there's no way we would know.
Yeah. And I, like, try to pitch this as well as possible in the article that is asking for guest writer applications, but I think I worded it better on the Reddit post. We're really looking for storytellers rather than how-to or instructional articles. It's fantastic if you want to add instruction into the story you're telling. Like, this is what I learned
this
from it, and
me.
This is, like, what is our end goal was, and this is how we achieved it, and this is how it's working for us. That's fantastic. But I really want to focus on the story of Model UN because it's... We like to do the how-to, we like to do the instructional, but there's so much more than that, I think, to Model UN. Like, I want to know, you know, what a conference weekend is like in Venezuela. I want to know what a Midwest team with no conferences around it does it to stay afloat and enjoy Model UN. You know, I want to hear the story of what your Model UN experience is like, because I think everyone is unique.
Also, don't worry if you don't speak perfect English. We, clearly, as I just demonstrated, also don't speak perfect English. But it's fine. Like, if something is glaringly, like, doesn't make sense in a sentence, we'll just go in and fix it. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it.
And I'll send out all the instructions to those who we invite to guest write after the applications.
Yeah. Also, just weird. I hope you wouldn't, but don't take it personally if you're not selected. That's not our intent. We're not trying to be mean about anything, but I kind of like Casey said, just, you know, speak from the heart, say your experience, because I think that that's really fun. I would say that the other MUN platforms and websites and stuff that exist right now don't really show that side of MUN, and that's a big goal of ours, is to be able to represent you guys and be able to give you a platform to be like, hey, this year my team went from going to 2 conferences to going to 6 conferences, and we got delegation awards at these,
and
this is
how
we
did
it. And this was awesome for me.
That was strange.
In sync. But, or like, I came in as a freshman delegate having no experience, and I failed at my first conference, and then by the time that I'm a senior, I have 20 best delegates. Or
whatever. I honestly want to know that story.
me too.
But like, very genuinely, like, things that are interesting, because I always think that people's MUN stuff is interesting.
Yeah.
And other people will too. So You can put that on your resume if we choose you.
Like some 101 guest writer in your resume, please.
I'll sign off on that. That's totally fine. I'm a full adult now. I'm allowed to do that.
I'll give you volunteer
hours. I can
be
a reference.
All right. With that, do I have a motion to close debate?
Motion to close debate.
That is in order. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Debate is now closed.
Point of information, what are your social medias?
You can follow us on Instagram at @101podcast, and you can email us any questions or comments that you may have at @101.business@gmail.com.
And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate and review us.